We are on Nun Hey Amud Beis at the bottom, so let's just chazer in our minds. The Mishnah had told us that three times a year, when all of the Mishmaros, remember the 24 Mishmaros Kahuna, 24 families of Kehanim, and there are three times a year, namely the Shalosh Regalim, when they are equal in certain ways. So, the Gemara picks up on that, and zeroes in on Vechilik Lechem Hapanim, and they are all equal in the division of the Lechem Hapanim. Do you guys remember the two? There was one time a year, Shalosh Regalim, when there were two types of quote-unquote bread that the Kohanim would get equally. Right, on Shavuos. How did Chazal refer to Shavuos?
Atzeres.
Exactly, Atzeres. And the official korban of Atzeres is the Shtei HaLechem, the two loaves of bread, which are made out of what grain?
Barley.
Wheat. The Omer was barley, and the Shtei HaLechem was wheat. We're going from barley to wheat. We're going from free animals, Zman Cheruseinu, Pesach, without Torah, without cell phones. He's got it in his hand already, yeah? Tiyas Mitzrayim, Zman Cheruseinu, free, but no Torah. No Torah, so we're free, but we're slaves to our animalistic drives, so the carbon of freedom is barley. But the carbon of dedication to Torah, of Matan Torah, is wheat. Animal food. So on Atzeres, on Shabbos, Atzeres, so then they would divide up both Lechem Hapanim, which was the show bread, the bread that was divided up on Shabbos for the Kohanim, as well as the Shtei HaLechem, if it fell out to be, if they were Shabbos and Shavuos coincided. So the Gemara picks up, and then it says Tanu Rabbanan, our sages have taught us. Minayin Shekol, Mishmar Shabbos Bechol Lechem Hapanim. How do you know that all the Mishmaros are equal when it comes to the divvying up of the Lechem Hapanim? I mean, what kind of kasha is that? I mean, the Kohanim are serving together in the Beis HaMikdash. So let's backtrack one step, right? There were 24 Mishmaros Kahuna, and they had to split all the Shabbosos, meaning the weeks, of the year. Good? So each Mishmar would get a week, and they got everything that was brought into the Beis HaMikdash, because that was their week. So the skins and the korbanos, like whatever it was.
What did they eat if it wasn't their week?
I mean, they were regular people also. You know, like teachers don't sleep in school.
That's true.
So it is interesting to think about Shevet Levi in general and how it worked, because they didn't have really their own official land, but they did get handouts because there were certain things they had to be given, whether it was the Kohanim with Truma or Levi's getting Meiser. It is interesting to try to imagine what it must have been like. But nonetheless, you know, they each had homes they went to and they had their food, and often they had Truma if they were Kohanim or whatever. But every week, that Mishmar had the zuchus of whatever was brought that week. Good? The problem is, whatever week is the Shalosh Regalim, guess what happens? All the Kohanim come together. So, wait a minute. So the Mishmar, whose official week it was, what does it mean? They just lose out?
Maybe they get an extra.
So the answer is, whatever was due to the Regal was split by all the Mishmaros. If we would take away all of the Kabanos of the Regal, it would be regular day, regular week. And so the Kohanim of that Mishmar got whatever they deserved on that week. So that's how it was divided up. We ignore the fact that it was Regal, and now all that stuff goes to the regular Mishmar, whose week it was. Whatever was brought uniquely for the Regal, that goes to divided equally amongst all of the Kohanim, all of the Mishmaros. Good? That's the question of the Gemara. So then how do you know that the Lechem Hapanim gets divided equally amongst all the Mishmaros? It's not right. It's not fair. Why? Because the Lechem Hapanim was the show bread, not the Shtei HaLechem. The Lechem Hapanim, the Lechem that was on the Shulchan. So that went to whatever Mishmar was that week. You're with me, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah? That went to, so what do you mean? So why should it get divided up equally? It's not right. It's not fair. It doesn't make sense. It's not even the way that everything works. That's the question. How do you know that that's true? The Mishnah said so. But how do you know? Where did that come from? Talmud Loimar, that's what we're taught. Chelek kechelek yechelu. There is a pasuk. Our fancy Gemara says, Chelek kechelek yechelu levad mimim karav ala avais. that they divided up portion by portion aside from something called Mimkarav al Ha'avos. I don't know, something that was worked out by the Avos. Avos meaning ancestors? So we're going to, the Gemara is going to break down the pasuk and get involved in explaining this pasuk. But so far, the Gemara is saying that there's something that gets divided up, and that is aside from things which are apparently arranged by the Avos. So we'll call it previous generations. So what's it talking about? So the Gemara says that this is exactly what it's talking about. Chelek kechelek yechelek. Kechelek avoida, kechelek achila. Just like the avoda gets divided up, the various karbanos get divided up, so too the achila, the things that are eaten. Rashi says, Tamal chelek kechelek, basu dekra, dil'el ksiv, d'ogmer b'regal. He's talking about the regal. And then it goes into, everyone gets a portion. Okay. Chelek achila, shava b'kulan, kechelek avoida. Just like the karbanos were equally divided on the regel, right? Whatever was unique to the regel was evenly divided. So too, achila. Well, that's what you do with karbanos, no? No, the karbanos are one thing, and then this is called achila. My achila, asks the Gemara, what is referred to by achila? Ilema karbanos. If you're going to say it means the eating of the karbanos, that's what they're eating, right? No, so then mihasam nafka. So that's learned out, mihasam nafka, for that's learned out from elsewhere, from over there. L'kayin ha-makriv oisa loy tiye. To the kayin that brings it, that sacrifices it, meaning puts it on the mizbeah, loy tiye, to him it will belong. Rashi right away on the pasuk says it doesn't mean that specific kayin. It means the mishmar. From his family, whatever that mishmar was, so they divide up the karbanos. So you already have a pasuk that says that the kohanim get to eat from the karbanos that they're involved in. So then what does it mean? Chelek kechelek yoichelu. Ela lechem hapanim. Rather, it refers to eating something else that's not a karban. What else do they eat? It's not a karban. In the Beis HaMikdash, the answer is the lechem hapanim. Yachol af pechoy vois haboy shalem achmas haregel. Beregel. Maybe it means eating things which they technically don't deserve. What do you mean? Let's read it inside. Yachol means perhaps, right? This is a midrashic way of learning things. Yachol always means maybe. You would have said like this. Yachol mirush chodesh, right? Nagara. Yachol, maybe af b'chavis abos shalom achmas haregel, maybe also the obligatory korbanos that are coming, not machmas, not because of haregel, the regel, beregel on the regel. In other words, maybe it's talking about things that are not obligatory due to the regel. What do you mean? Okay, so let's backtrack one step. We can categorize the korbanos on the regel into two or three categories, depending on how you want to look at it. One thing is, whatever is obligatory on that day, aside from the regel. What would that be? Let's say the korban tamid, you know? Okay, but that's a korban ola. Okay, but still, skins and stuff? That's one category. Category B would be things that are due to that day, but are unique to the regel. All the korbanos musafin, that's all because of the regel. And then you might have people bringing all kinds of other korbanos. There are certain korbanos they're bringing because they're showing up for aliyah l'regel. And then, right, because there's a korban ola, you have to bring a certain korbanos when you show up. You're not allowed to come empty-handed. We say that in davening. Lo yirufanai reikam. You can't come empty-handed. You have to bring a korban when you come. And in addition, there could be all kinds of voluntary offerings that a person pledged. And now he's coming to Beis HaMikdash. Does he have to bring those now? No, he's got like basically a year to bring them whenever he wants. But he's coming to Beis HaMikdash, he's going to bring them now. So what about all those korbanos? What do we call them, by the way? All voluntary offerings, do you remember? Nidarim and Nidavos. Nidarim and Nidavos. The reason there are two terms for Nidarim and Nidavos is because the designations are different. That the difference between Nidarim and Nidavos is that one of them is when a person says, I promise to bring a korban. But he didn't designate a specific one. And the other one is when he says, this one will be a korban. And I always confuse which one's which. So one has to do, so what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina, let's say the animal that he designated died. Well, if he designated that particular animal, it's dead. Can't bring it anymore. He doesn't have an obligation to bring another one. But if he said, I promise I'm going to bring a karban, and then the animal that he designated to be used dies, well, too bad. You still have to bring it, because the obligation was on him, not on the karban. That's the original source for Brisker Torah, Cheftza, and Gavra. Person and object, no? Yeah. Anyway, so Yachal Afachov is Abol Shalom Achmas HaRegel BaRegel. Maybe it's even things like Nedarim and Nedavos and other things that are not due to the actual Regel. That's what it's referring to. Chelek, chelek, chelu. Tamalem, levad mimim karav al ha'ovois. That what's being divided up as, and it's couched in the term Achila, is aside from that which was mim karav al ha'ovois. What does that mean? Ma machra avos elazeh. What did the avos, the previous generations, the ancestors, agree upon with one another? Like a mecher, like almost like a transaction. What did they agree on in the past between one another? Ani b'shabasi v'ata b'shabasecha. Me on my Shabbos and you on yours. Meaning what? In the times of Yoshua, in the times when Bnei Yisrael originally came to Eretz Yisrael, apparently even before Binyan Beis HaMikdash, when there was going to be Avodah still, whether it was the Mishkan or whether it was Shiloh or whatever, but the Kohanim apparently had made an agreement with one another, that they agreed that whatever is not due to the Regel, we will divide up equally, we're given specifically to that Mishmar, so that that way on the Regel, the only things that get divided equally are things that are unique to the Regel. And if it's not unique to the Regel, it's anything else, then that goes to the particular Mishmar whose official Shabbos it was. So then what could it refer to then? Chelek kechelek yochelu. The answer is the only thing that's left that it should refer to is lechem hapanim, because everything else was already agreed to ahead of time. So when you start to think about this, if you're really thinking about it at all, so you start to wonder, wait a minute, I'm confused. The pasuk is in Taras Moshe. The pasuk is in Chumash, kizchelek kizchelek yechelu. And it refers to eating the lechem upon him, because it must be lechem upon him, because later on in history, in the times of Yoshua, and later the Kohanim agreed to divide up everything else. That doesn't really make any sense, does it? So you have to answer that question. Right, you hear the question? The question is, the Gemara is insisting that chelek kizchelek yechelu means that dividing up lechem upon him, because what else could it refer to? It can't refer to, you know, the karbanos, because that's already referred to as the kohanim that bring the karban, eat the karban. Okay, got that. That's already a pasuk in Chumash. But maybe it refers to things like nedarim and nedavos or whatever else is brought, shaloi machmas haregel, that had nothing to do with a particular regel. No, that can't be, because it says levad mimim karav al avos. Mim karav al avos? What do you mean? But Moshe's Torah is talking about things that are agreed upon later? So, apparently the answer is yes. That apparently there's something to be divided up aside from whatever agreements the Kohanim make, which apparently happened later. I don't know. In any case, you have to think about it. It's interesting. Gemara goes on. Matzeres amelai helach. On the Teres, that was Shabbos. At the same time, they said, Mr. Cohen, please take your matzah, please take your chametz. What was that? Is that the order? Matzah and chametz, or chametz and matzah? What did the Mishnah say? Anybody remember? Anybody can look it up? What did they tell them? Anybody see it in the Mishnah? Did you in the Mishnah? Helach when? It says when it's seres. V'chilak lechem apanim ba'at seres.
Matzah chametz.
Oh, it says helach matzah first, and then helach chametz. Okay, you'll say, well, I mean, does it matter which one comes first? Right, that's what you're thinking, right? Like, what's the difference? Like, why does this crazy rabbi have to always be insisting that there's an order? If the Mishnah said one first, it matters. Like, it's just because, you know, matzah, chametz, chametz, matzah. Sounds nice to say matzah first. Itmar. It was stated, Rav, Omar, Sukkah, Becharkach, Zman. What? What does this do to our Mishnah? Rav said, Sukkah, and afterwards, Zman. Anybody have any idea what this is talking about? Sukkah and then Zman?
Bracha?
What bracha? Oh, okay, so we're talking about Sukkahs. We'll have to let the Gemara work its way back. In other words, just FYI, a lot of times the Gemara will do this. There'll be some either proof or question from the Mishnah that the Gemara is going to ask. It's going to use the Mishnah as a proof or as a question on something. But instead of the Gemara sort of letting us know what it's about to do, it just goes, boom, into whatever we're going to start with, and then goes through the background, and then says, and our Mishnah is a problem, or is a proof, or whatever the goal of the Gemara is. But don't get confused. This will happen all the time. It quotes, the Gemara will always quote the phrase from the Mishnah that we're going to focus on, and then the Gemara seems like it's coming totally out of left field, because we're talking about Karbanos and Kohanim eating both matzah, which was, what matzah? Lechem ha'panim, and chametz. Yeah. Shnei lechem, which is the korban of Shuv, right on target. So what does it have to do with the bracha on Sukkar, Shechiyana? So we're going to let the Gemara come back to it. The Gemara, what it's going to do is that it's going to say, okay, from the Mishnah, we're going to have either a proof or a kasha or something on this whole topic. But we're going to introduce the topic. So Itmar, it was stated that Rav said, when you go into your sukkah on the first day of Sukkis, you have a quandary because there are two brachas to be made. There's a little bit of background here that we're just going to steamroll through and we're just going to skip it. Is there a bracha when you build your sukkah? Should you make a she'echiyanu when you build your sukkah? We do not. Halacha l'maaseh said we do not. But that's a discussion. I'm saying we do not. When we build the sukkah, we build it, and we do not make a she'echiyanu at the time we build it. When do we make a she'echiyanu? At Kiddush, right? At Kiddush, when we sit in our sukkah. So here's the shaila. This is the quandary we have. Mekadesh Yisrael vazmanim. And now, we don't want to drink yet, because we want to say leishev basukkah, right? Should we say she'echiyanu first? Or we should say leishev basukkah first, and then say she'echiyanu? We don't normally have the shaila because we don't have a bracha on eating on sukkahs, right? But there's leishev basukkah on sukkahs. Pesach, there's no issue because Pesach is, what do you mean? There's no other bracha. Shavuos, there's no other bracha. But sukkahs, we have a leishev basukkah to make. So when should we say leishev basukkah? Before she'echiyanu or after she'echiyanu? But that comes later, right? That's not you're not going to do that when you drink the wine. In other words, the idea here is that because we want to make a leishev basukkah before we drink the wine. Now, technically speaking, you shouldn't really have to make a leishev basukkah to drink wine, right? But since we're beginning our meal, we say it. Now, this is a huge topic, which we're not going to go into now, but it's a really fun one. When do you make a leishev basukkah? When should you make a leishev basukkah? What? So, you know, the starting point I would say is when you walk in. You have to make a leishev basukkah when you sit? What if you're standing? Nothing to do with sitting. Leishev basukkah doesn't mean to sit in the sukkah. What does it mean?
To live
in the sukkah. So the first, when are you supposed to do birchas ha-mitzvah? After you do the mitzvah or before you do the mitzvah? Before. What do we call that? Over? La'asiyasan. Mitzvah, you make a bracha on a mitzvah over la'asiyasan. Always right before you do it. So what do we do with lulav and esrog? Lulav and esrog. How do we make sure we make the bracha before we do the mitzvah? Yeah. By holding the esrog upside down. Correct? That way we make the bracha first and we're making the mitzvah after the bracha. We always make a bracha before the mitzvah. So when you fulfill the mitzvah of living in a sukkah,
when you walk in,
so you should stand in front of your sukkah, make Baruch Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Hashem, Yisrael, Tzivon, Leishev, Basukkah. And then the whole family should walk in together. Doesn't that sound beautiful? If you would have asked me, I would have told you that that's the correct way to fulfill the mitzvah. Sukkah, make the bracha before you walk in. But, Rishonim will say that the Rabbi Nutan made this famous, that the bracha that we make, Leishev, Basukkah, is on a concrete action of eating. And not any concrete action of eating, and eating that you're chayav to eat in a sukkah. Yeah? So that's why we only make a leishev sukkah when we say hamotzi, or maybe if we have a mezonos, that's a huge debate. So, halacha l'maaseh, that's what we do. If we're going to have a mezonos, we make a leishev sukkah on the mezonos. But, Mishnah Berurah recommends hanging out in your sukkah afterwards to make sure that it's not considered, you know, a sketchy bracha. But in any case, it's not on wine. There's no leishei b'sukkah on wine. But since we're sitting down to have our meal, we make the leishei b'sukkah associated with the wine when we're sitting, when we make our kiddush. That's what we do. Okay. So the Gemara wants to know what's preferable, to say leishei b'sukkah first or shehechiyanu first. So Rav said, first you say leishev b'sukkah, and then you say shehechiyanu, and then you drink. Rav bar bar chana, Omar zman v'char kach sukkah. No, first you say shehechiyanu, and then you say leishev b'sukkah. At this point, we have no idea what they're arguing about, but the Gemara is just spelling out that they argue. Now the Gemara explains a little bit. Rav Omar sukkah v'char kach zman. The reason why Rav held, you make leishev b'sukkah first and only afterwards shehechiyanu, it's because chiyuva deyum ha'adif. It's preferable. We give precedence to the chiyuv, the obligation deyuma of the day. Literally, chiyuva deyuma, the obligation of the day, adif, is preferable. It's better. It's preferable. So what's the nafkamina? That since the mitzvah of the day is the sukkah, so you say leishev b'sukkah first, and then you make your shehechiyanu only afterwards. Rabbi Bar Chana Amar zman v'achar kach sukkah. Rabbi Bar Chana said first shehechiyanu and only afterwards the bracha leishev b'sukkah. Why? A principle we're familiar with: tadir v'sheinu tadir tadir kaidem. Whatever is more frequent comes first. So since which one is more frequent, sukkah or shehechiyanu?
Shehechiyanu.
Shehechiyanu all the time and all kinds of other things. Not just on sukkah.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I figure I go through my year saying it less than 8 times, so that's more good with me. What I should say. No.
Well,
so you'll have to do sukkah more than once a day. So, okay.
You only say shehechiyanu once,
exactly.
On sukkah.
Exactly. So I'm saying it could technically come out to you say shehechiyanu less than a year than you say less than a sukkah.
It's interesting. Rashi writes, "Zman tadir shenoyeg b'chol aregomen." So, literally, if you focus on Rashi, in other words, what you're asking is, but how many times do you make the bracha, and how many times do you make that of leishev? We're talking how many times you make shehechiyanu, right? That's your argument. Rashi writes, it's applicable more times a year, not how many times you're going to do it on Sukkot, right? That seems to be what Rashi's saying. But I like your point. It was a very good point. Definitely worth thinking more about. Okay, so that's what they are arguing about. How do you give precedence to the bracha? What are the two principles at odds here? So tadir shein and tadir tadir kodem is one principle. Whatever comes more frequently has precedence. And what's the other principle? Chiyuva the yuma adif. What does that mean?
Mitzvah of the
day. In other words, whatever is the mitzvah for now, uniquely for now, takes precedence even to things which happen more frequently. But this is, you know, this is the focus right now.
That like directly
contrasts
tradition
and
tradition.
That's what it is. It's a contrast. It's like
that you can't
have both.
You can't have both. Correct. You cannot
that
have both.
That applies to every other case like that.
What do you mean? Well, what other cases would there be like that? You think Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh would count like that? You see, what's unique here is that it's a birchas mitzvah. Like, usually when we apply the principle of tadir v'sheinu tadir kodem, is precedence and like benching, what comes first? Ritzei, yalav yavai. So I suppose you could argue, well, what's the mitzvah hayom? Mitzvah hayom. What do you mean mitzvah hayom? We're not making a birchas mitzvah. But eating suda on Shabbos is maybe the ikar. Rosh Chodesh is no mitzvah suda. And Shabbos is supposed to have oinig Shabbos, so maybe Shabbos should take precedence. Okay, well, they're not contradicting because it's also tadir. Shabbos is more often than Rosh Chodesh. So you can try to figure it out. Is there ever other cases where this is applicable? But here, certainly it is, number one, because it's a birchas mitzvah. So we're making a bracha on a mitzvah that is what the focus is of the day. And it's at odds with the shehechiyanu in terms of tadir. So what are they arguing about? Well, they already said what they're arguing about. They have these two principles at work. So Gemara says, let's dig deeper. Let's dig deeper. Leimer Rav, Rav Bar Chanan, looked at the Beis Shammai, said, look, I'm Ifligi. Maybe these two opinions, Rav and Rav Bar Chanan, are biplukta in the machlokes of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, come Ifligi, they are arguing. In other words, they are really a reflection of an earlier machlokes. Tanan Rabban, Devarim Shebein, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, Beis Seuda, the things that are between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel when it comes to Seuda, meaning the things that they differ about, they disagree about. Beis Shato colon. Beis Shammai, or Beis Shammai says, Mivarech alayoyim, v'charkach mivarech alayayin. That first you make the bracha on the day, and then you make the bracha on the wine. Now what's this referring to? So try to imagine in your mind a regular Kiddush. It's Kiddush, or it's Yom Tov, and you want to make Kiddush. So how does the Sheikh Yanu work? And the bracha on the wine work? And the bracha on the day? So in this particular conversation, you don't have a discussion over where Sheikh Yanu goes. This, which is interesting because that's what we're trying to deal with. But this particular machlokes of Beis Shammai is dealing with what? What versus what? What bracha versus what bracha? Right. So there, what is called the day? What bracha is that? Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. Right? Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. That's how we end Kiddush, right? What we do, is obviously like Beis Hillel, Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, Borei Pri Hagafen, Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, Asher Bachar Banu Mikolam, Ramon Rasha, right? Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. And then we say Sheikh Yan. So, that's not what Beis Shammai says. Beis Shammai says first you say Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim, and then you say Borei Pri Hagafen. Which, you know, you could hear that, it makes sense, right? Because you're making a whole bracha, and then you say Borei Pri Hagafen. Like a mashal, the Haggadah. We have four kosos at the Haggadah, right? Benching. Benching is another example. You don't say Borei Pri Hagafen and then bench. You're benching on the kos, right? So you say the whole benching, and when you finish benching, you say Borei Pri Hagafen. In the Haggadah, you have a whole thing you're doing on the Haggadah, you hold the whole Hallel, whatever it's going to be, and then you say Borei Pri Hagafen at the end. You don't say Borei Pri Hagafen at the beginning and then say the whole thing, right?
100%.
Based Shammai's opinion.
What I'm saying, don't we say, what do you mean we say Borei Pri Hagafen at that end?
When we say Kiddush, like I just described, like I just sang to you so beautifully.
Yeah.
So when we do that, we say Borei Pri Hagafen first.
Okay.
We take it for granted. Think it through. Does that make sense? Because it's a huge hefsek between your Borei Pri Hagafen and your drinking.
That's true.
So wouldn't it make more sense, like Beis Shammai saying, to say the whole bracha, Asher Bachar Banu Mikolam, and finish Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim, and then say Borei Pri Hagafen, then drink.
But on Pesach, don't we say Kiddush right when it starts?
The Kiddush we say when we start the Haggadah, the first of the Arba Kosos, is like any other Yom Tov. So you say Borei Pri Hagafen first,
yeah.
And then like Beis Hillel. But what's the next time we say Borei Pri Hagafen? After we finish the Haggadah, after we finish Hallel and benching, and all those other examples, the Borei Pri Hagafen comes at the end.
Well,
right?
You said mostly that you're coming for the Hagafen, so you can't say Hagafen on it.
But you said what you call it?
On what? In what case?
You're already benched between the two.
Yeah, so you say after the benching. Oh, in between.
Let's say you're benching on a kos after a meal, right? So you pick up the kos, and what do you say? Rabbi Sani Barik. I have an idea. Why don't you pick up the kos and say, Baruch Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, Borei Pri Hagafen, Rabbi Sani Barik. So you'll say, that's ridiculous, because it's kind of hefsek is that? You're going to bench afterwards.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we say the same thing by Kiddush? So Beis Shammai says, what do you mean? First you say, Mekadesh HaShabbos, you know, or Hazizrael Zman, whatever it's going to be. And then you say the Baruch on the Yayin at the end. Makes a lot of sense, no? Okay, but we don't know why they're saying that. But that's what they say. What we do, first Borei Pri Hagafen, and then the bracha on the day. Beis Shammai says the reason for their order why wine comes last. They don't say because I'm hefsek. Right. That the only reason that you're making this particular bracha is because there's a special kiddush to be made, because it's Shabbos, it's Yom Tov, or whatever it is. So what's really causing the whole bracha is the day. I mean, listen, you could have drunk wine anyhow, but you wouldn't have been making kiddush. So, Yoim Goyreim Liyayin Shayavoy Ukvar Kidesh Hayoim Vadayin Yayin Loibo. What does that mean? The day has already been sanctified, and wine has not come yet. Rashi. Shayoim goyreim liyayin sheyavoshim loy mipnei kiddush. We're not for kiddush. L'haya nizkak l'kois lifnei su'uda. Who in the world would require a cup of wine before the meal? That's how Rashi says it. Right? When we, technically speaking, let's say you sit down to a meal and you're going to drink some wine, right? What's the technical order of brachas? You have bread on the table and you have wine. What's the technical order of brachas? What are you supposed to do? Yeah. Bread first. And that's how some explain why we do what?
Cover
the challahs. So, why in the world are you saying kiddush first if it's the wrong order of brachas? The answer is because that's called kiddush. It's a mitzvah of kiddush, right? So what's causing you to do that? The answer is the day. Ukvar kiddush hayoyim, says Rashi, kloimar, right? That's a good word in Rashi that means... It's not what it sounds like. The words are misleading. Kloimar, in other words. V'oid tamacher. And there's another reason why wine comes first. Shekidish hayoim may a love misha chashecha. Because what really makes the day special, what sanctifies the day, is really on its own. It happens on its own from the time it got dark. V'dayin yayin loy ba lefanav. And wine has not yet come in front of you. Does anybody want to take a stab at that? What is that? What does that mean? This is another reason Rashi says, "Oy tamachir." Another reason why the day causes the wine is because the day happens on its own. And then wine still has not come in front of you to, you know, to make the bracha. So what does that mean? What do you say? So someone explain, I don't know if it had a well reason to Rashi or not, but the idea is that, as Rashi says, it's a second reason that what happens first in the order of, I don't know if it's like a practicality, what happens first? Automatically, the day becomes sanctified on its own. We have a responsibility to sanctify it as well. Mashallah, ma davar doyma. Let's say, does a Kohen have Kedusha inherently?
Yes.
Does a Kohen have his own like Kedusha inherently? The Pasuk says, V'kidashtoi. You must sanctify the Kohen. Kies lechem alekech, this is this week's parsha. Kies lechem alekech hu makriv. Because he's the one that's sacrificing karbanos. So you have to sanctify him. Does that mean he doesn't have sanctity if I don't sanctify him? You have a Kohen come to your house for Shabbos, and you're going to serve him first. You're going to give him, let him take the portion first, because he's a Kohen. Okay, very nice. You're going to let him bench, because he's a Kohen. You give him the first aliyah, because he's a Kohen, right? So we're sanctifying him. Because if we don't, well, you know, who will? The answer is, what do you mean? He has Kedusha inherently to him, right? So there's an inherent Kedusha to a thing. And then additionally to that, we have to treat it in a way that has Kedusha. I don't know how many of you were there at the Seuda when Rabbi Beryl Wine spoke. Do you remember? Were you guys there? You're there? Do you remember his story in the beginning? He said in his shul was a framer.
He told his is with the painting?
Yeah. And the framer made his money framing paintings. And a guy had this, like, I don't know, was it a Van Gogh or something? I don't know, some crazy. What was it? Do you remember?
It was an R. Rembrandt.
Rembrandt?
Rembrandt.
So he had this expensive painting, and the guy was framing it. So he said, Rabbi, you should come see, you know, the frame that I'm going to use or how I do it or whatever it was. So he told the framer, told his Rav, Rabbi Wein, that it was, I think, between $200,000 and $300,000 for the frame. So Rabbi Wein was like beside himself, like, what do you mean? It's just a frame. You need to have such an expensive frame. Rabbi, when the painting itself is worth, you know, $1 million, whatever it was, millions of dollars, so then the frame's got to be $200,000 to $300,000. See, he said, what's the idea? The idea is that when something is of great value, you also have to make sure to frame it in the right way. Meaning, when something is of great significance, this person is a kohen. He has inherent value to him. There's no question about it. But if you don't relate to him in the proper way, if you don't frame it in the right way, so then the fact that he has inherent kedusha is not really relevant. It's not going to have an impact. So you have to frame things. You have to have the right perspective. You have to approach things in the right way as well. So here too, the day in and of itself has sanctity, and it sanctifies itself. When the day happens, when it becomes night, it becomes Shabbos. It becomes Yom Tov. It doesn't need us, but we have a responsibility to sanctify it by making Kiddush. So what happens first is always the day. What happens second is always our Kiddush that we give to it. Which one is sort of greater significance? Well, it depends on how you look at it. But the inherent significance is the fundamental significance. It has its own Kiddushah, whether you frame it correctly or not. So the essential Kiddushah is the Yom. What happens first? Kiddushah Sayom. What happens second? Our framing, our Kiddush. So too, when we make our Kiddush, which bracha comes first? The Yom. And what comes second? Our framing of it, our bracha on the wine. Zuck, base shot. So again, the way he says it is, Shehayom goreim leyayin sheyavoy. Rashi says that's one reason. The day is what's making us make kiddush, the brachas out of order. V'kvar kiddush ayoy, v'dayin yayin leipo. And the second reason is because when the day has already become sanctified, still wine has not come. Meaning you don't need wine for the inherent sanctity of the day. I think we said it well. I think we did a good job explaining. What would have been if Rabbi Wein had not come? And I would not have had that mashal to say. What would have been? Beisilo holds mevarach l'ayayin. First comes a bracha on Bori Priya Gafen, or Gefen, if you started him out there. And then the bracha on the day, that is what we do. Shehayayin goyrim l'kidusha. Shetoymar. Because what's actually allowing us to say anything is the wine. The wine is causing the kiddush to be said. Rashi. Shehayayin goyrim l'kidusha teymar. Shetoymar. Shetoymar. Shim lo hayala yayin. If a person had no wine, lo haya mekadesh b'chdi. He can't make kiddush without anything. No, Rashi's bothered by something. Halacha l'mayis, does anybody know? If you don't have wine for Kiddush, what do? You make it on what? You make it on the bread. Correct. So that's what's bothering Rashi. The Gemara is not really true. The Gemara is not precise. Because it's not true that if there's no wine, I'll make Kiddush. So Rashi adds, V'huad denami l'makadash al ha'pas. The same thing applies to a person making Kiddush on bread. Because you're going to make the bracha on bread first for the same reason. Because the bread is simply in the place of wine. But in other words, the way we make kiddush is not without food. We don't just say, Mekadesh HaShabbos. Okay, let's wash. We don't do that. We say Mekadesh HaShabbos on wine or on bread. So because of that, the wine takes a practical precedence. Conceptually, Beis Shammai is correct. But practically, Beis Hillel, you know, has their approach. Davar acher, birchas yayayin tadira. Birchas hayoyim eina tadira. Ooh, another explanation. For who? For Beis Hillel. Is that the bracha on wine is much more tadir because you make it all the time. And birchas hayoyim is only once a week and only on Yom Tov. V'tadir sheina tadir, tadir koidem. So Beis Hillel gave two reasons. Now, what about Beis Shammai? What does Beis Shammai do with tadir, sheina tadir, tadir koidem? What do they do about that? They didn't even answer that. But Beis Hillel, that was one of their two arguments. Number one, from a practical perspective, you have to have some kind of food in order to make Kiddush. And number two, what happened to Tadir Shina Tadir Tadir Kaida? So Beis Hillel has those two factors going for it. What does Beis Shammai say? Lame or Rav, Dharmak Beis Shammai. V'Rab Bar Chan, Dharmak Beis Hillel. So maybe that's exactly the machlokes. In addition to the argument over, you know, the concept of which one takes precedence, but there is a halachic principle at stake here. Does Tadir Shina Tadir, how does that work? Or do you focus on mitzvah sayom? So maybe that machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Bar Chana is exactly this machlokas Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai never spelled it out clearly, but maybe that's what Beis Shammai would say. Since there's a special mitzvah sayom of Kiddush, that's why they say the bracha on the yom comes first. Mitzvah sayom adif. Gemara answers, Amalucha Rav. Rav would say to you, Na. I would say afilu Beis Hillel. Even according to Beis Hillel, I can still hold of my opinion that what comes first, that sukkah comes first. Ad kan lekamar Beis Hillel hasam, because when Beis Hillel said that the wine comes before the yom, elisha yayin gorim lekiddush shishitayomer, is because the wine is what's causing Kiddush to be said, because you can't just say Kiddush without some kind of food, with some wine or bread or something. But in the case of sukkah, ilav zman, milam minan sukkah, if we didn't have Shechianu, would we not say leishev b'sukkah? One thing has nothing to do with the other. So there's not the same issue. V'rabba b'barchan ha'malacha, ano, he would say, I don't mean yofi l'beis shamai, I fit. Even according to Beis Shammai, I can't remember Beis Shammai, awesome. Beis Shammai said over there that wine is second and yom comes first. Elisha yom garim liyayin sheyavoy. It's because the day is causing the wine to be said in the way in which it's being said. Aval hacha, ilav sukkah, if we actually didn't have a sukkah, mila and minan zman, would we not say shechianu? Of course we say shechianu. Shechianu is an achad. Not on the sukkah. So it's not rooted in that machlokes. So as far as we're aware, it's this their machlokes is only rooted in a halachic machlokes about whether there's a principle of the chiyuva diyuma adif, or you always say tadir v'sheino tadir tadir koidem. Now we get to our mishnah. So in all of this context, the machlokes Rav and Rabbi Bar Chana over what takes precedence, the leishev pesukah versus shechianu. Gemara says tonight we learned in our mishnah. But Atzeres, Omer lehilach matzah, ilach chametz. On Atzeres, I say to the Kohanim, on Shavuot, I say to the Kohanim, make sure you take a piece of matzah, make sure you take a piece of chametz. Namely, make sure you take a piece of the lechem apanim, matzah, make sure you take a piece of the chametz, the shtei lechem. Which one came first?
Matzah.
V'ha-hacha the chametz ikar, u'matzah tafel. Ay, but here, which one is the mitzvah of the day?
The chametz or the matzah? It's Shavuos.
So which one's the mitzvah of the day? The mitzvah of the day is a shtei alechem. So he should have said, take chametz first. U'matzah tafel. Matzah's only secondary because the lechem upon him is only being divided up because whatever, you got to divide it up on Shabbos. But, you know, first of all, you know, it's just divided up to be eaten on that day. It's been sitting there for a week. V'katani, we learn in the Mishnah, lechem matzah, lechem chametz. Take matzah, take chametz. And matzah comes first. Yufta derav. Is that not a TKO on Rav? Amalacha Rav. Rav would say to you tonight, he, come on, it's a machloikas tanoim. In other words, what's fascinating, he doesn't say, oh, come on, it's just the way that they said it to the Kohanim. Apparently, even the language used is of great significance. This is so amazing. You know, we just like talk and we just say things and
You see that there's supposed to be a precision in the way that things are presented, the way that things are said, and you can learn from the fact that the way they said to the Kohanim, take matzah, take chametz, it was in that order for a reason. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Just goes to show how much every single word we say should have meaning and should be said with a reason. Even the order which we say things. You know, I don't know how many times you notice this in Rashi and Chumash. He'll point out to you that when the question was asked to, I don't remember offhand an example, to whoever, Moshe Rabbeinu. So, al rishon rishon ve'al acharon acharon. He answered him the first question first and the second question second. You know, like there'll be two things that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did they do this? You know, why did Bnei Yisrael do this? And Moshe Rabbeinu answers the first question first and the second question second. So you'll say, all right. But it goes to show that there is a reason for why he said this one first, why he said this one second. And it was with a thought process. It wasn't just, you know, he responded in that way. How many times does somebody ask us something and we say, well, I'll answer both of your questions? But we don't necessarily answer them in the order that they were asked, but whichever one means more to us. So there's an Indian to be conscious of the way we talk and to answer all Rishon, Rishon, Rachon, Rachon. Anyway, says Rav, what are you talking about? Tanaihi, Tamachalukas Tanaim. Desanya, because even though the Mishnah said matzah first, there's a brisa. Desanya, we learn in a brisa, hilach matzah, hilach chametz. Abashol, oimer. Abashol says, you're never going to believe this, hilach chametz, hilach matzah. He said the order which they say it should be chametz first. Wow. Yep. And that was worthy of a machlaikis. Worthy of a machlaikis in Chazal. Darash of Nachum Baruch is to like it, divrei Rav, damar sukh v'achar kach zman. So this was like halacha lemaisa. He's saying, hey, we don't paskin like Rav that said sukkah and then sheichianu. Ela zman v'achar kach sukkah. Rather, sheichianu comes first, leishayv v'sukkah second. Rav Sheish is braid, Rav Idi Amar, sukkah v'achar kach zman. He argued, said, no, sheichianu comes last. V'hilchaza, what's the halacha? Sukkah v'achar kach zman. First, make leishayv v'sukkah and then sheichianu. Okay, so there, interestingly enough, the Gemara feels it should paskin it. Okay, and finally for today, Mishmar Shazmana Kavua, Vashar Korbanos Tzibur. The Mishnah finished by saying that the Mishmar, whose week it was, they get all of the other Korbanos that are not unique to the Chag, and it adds, and also all of the other Korbanos of the Tzibur. Well, what other Korbanos of the Tzibur? What's the Mishnah referring to? Lasuye mai, to include what? Asks the Gemara. Lasuye par helam davar shel tzibur, to include what's called a par of something that was forgotten by the tzibur. And number two, v'seire avoidas kechavim, the seir of avoidas kechavim of avoidas art. What are these? So if you remember in the beginning of parshas of Sefer Vayikra, so the parshas say there are certain korbanos that the whole tzibur is going to have to bring on behalf of everybody because of a mess-up. What was the mess-up? Sanhedrin paskin something incorrectly. They said something was really avoid. It's originally mutter. And so there's what's called a korban sibur. How often were these things brought? Certainly nobody knows historically. Could be never. But it's a korban of the sibur when there was like a big mess-up of like the whole sibur. So if that korban had to be brought, which, you know, was unlikely, but if it did have to be brought at that time, then the particular mishmar of that week would be the ones to get the, you know, the skins or whatever was not burnt up. And finally, Humakra Vesako, that Mishmar also has the zechus to put everything on the Mizbeach, to sacrifice everything. Lasuye Mai, what does that include? What's everything? What else is there? Lasuye Kayetz HaMizbeach. That includes something that's called Kayetz HaMizbeach. What in the world is Kayetz HaMizbeach? Those of you that learn Mishnayos will encounter this again and again and again and again and again. Because all the Mishnayos that deal with Korbanos are always talking about, oh, that, whatever, it'll just go towards Kayetz HaMizbeach. That money, you don't know what to do with it, don't worry about it, it'll go in the bank towards Kayetz HaMizbeach. What in the world is Kayetz HaMizbeach? You know, this is in springtime, summer, vacation, no? Yes, it means in a certain way, vacation of the Mizbeach. What? Okay, probably not technically. Technically, probably it means from the language of dried dates, dessert. But the idea is that there were certain times when the Mizbeach was just not being used. You know, there just weren't enough korbanos, and it's just like sitting there. It's not right. It's not right. There should always be something happening on the Mizbeach. So for that reason, there's something called Kayetz HaMizbeach. It's the dessert. It's the spring break. Whenever there was a break, there was nothing going on in the Mizbeach. There were special karbanos that weren't really being brought by anyone in particular. But those karbanos are karban ola that were brought simply so that the Mizbeach would not be doing nothing. It always looked like there's always a relationship between a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And so there was always something happening in the Mizbeach. That is referred to as Kayetz HaMizbeach. Mirtz Hashem. Tomorrow we will do this Mishnah and get to figure out exactly where to stop, but then we'll leave the last bit for Thursday for a Siyum. Mirtz Hashem.